In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Sturdy and the Blonde Bomber. And to the bullpen we go. Chris Santiago, Big D. Santiago takes over as Tyler has some important business to handle right now. You're going to ride with us the rest of the way. Chris Santiago, you hear him every night on the late night show here, Area 45, as he is there with Sean Pajani and Patrick Creighton.
How y'all doing, guys?
Good. Look at that. Hey, look at him, man.
How you been, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
You know, that's you know, that sound like a guy that ain't nervous about cracking that mic no more, baby.
Never, man. No more.
There
no
go.
More.
There you go. Listen to that confidence, baby. Listen to that.
Take them training wheels off, baby. Let's ride.
There we
Let's
go. Ride. It is 5 o'clock fire. Remember, 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And coming up in this segment, be ready. Chris will have you ready to go and take care of you. Caller. There will be a caller, as I will give you the cue to call at some point in this segment. 713-572-4610. Not at this moment. When I give you that cue to call, you have a chance to win a pair of tickets, front row seats in the bullpen to see your Texans take on the Tennessee Titans coming up on Sunday. So stay tuned for that. But still the big news, Clint. Monday Night Football last night, the Texans had three straight primetime games. They win all of them. They had Thursday Night Football, they had Sunday Night Football, and they had Monday Night Football. They lost the first two, but they go last night and destroyed the Cowboys 34-10. And I got to say, for me, there's a lot of things to come out of it. The fans were a huge story to me. Them being loud, vocal, traveling, Clint, and it was so obvious to a point that Joe Buck, Troy Aikman made comments about it multiple times on the broadcast. We saw tons of videos and people sending in their videos and showing how loud it was. You could just hear it. You could see all the red going around the stadium. So shout out to Texans fans as they showed out last night and went up there and took over that stadium. Took over that stadium, and it was incredible to hear and see last night the Texans fans go to Dallas and turn it into their stadium.
Yeah, look, after what we saw at the Hall of Fame game this preseason with Andre Johnson going into the Hall of Fame and the Texans opening up the season, the preseason football schedule up in Cleveland, and the way the fans traveled there. It's pretty obvious that they were damn sure going to travel to Dallas in a big, big way. Too easy of a trip for to not go. Too big of an opportunity to not be in the building. So no surprise that the Texans fans went up there and showed up and showed out.
Yeah, they did. It was great to see them take over that stadium. But Clint, the Texans gave them plenty to cheer about throughout that game. And it started very, very fast. And Joe Mixon, who I know you were high on before, I wondered how good he would be. But he definitely set the tone early, Clint. Over 100 yards again, almost 150 yards total, three touchdowns in this game, Clint. Joe Mixon has been a huge asset. Now we got to see Joe Mixon and Nico Collins in the game together. And you could see some changes, some significant changes to that offense, having those two in there.
Yeah, look, committing to the run. Let's start with Joe Mixon. I mean, just the ability to commit to the run in the way that we've seen the Texans be able to, and the difference that it makes for this football team is unbelievable. I mean, it's the last week's game against Detroit obviously was not what you're looking for in an overall production standpoint from the run game. But you committed to it, you grinded, it created some opportunities in the pass game, And overall, more times than not, every time except the Detroit game, Joe's gone over 100 yards of any game that he started and finished. And so it travels well. It changes the game for your offense. Hell, it changes the game for your defense. It allows your defense to sit on the sideline and rest a little bit when you can run it well. It allows you to get in the red zone and score points instead of kick field goals. It starts and stops. Offensively right now, even with Nico back, for me, it starts and stops with Joe Mixon. The year he's having is tremendous. The impact he has on this offense is big time. And nobody knew it was coming, but in a year where we can't protect the damn quarterback beyond the quick game and the screen game, the run game is coming through big time.
Yeah, he was special yesterday. As I said, there are three touchdowns as he ran through. And one of the big things, we talked about the physicality. At the end, the Cowboys knew that the Texans were going to try to run the clock out, and the Texans were going to try to run the clock out, and Bobby Slowick called about six or seven straight runs. And they had success and led to them eventually getting into the end zone and scoring another touchdown on his third one. So, big game performance last night. The fans were big. The team was big. It was exactly what this team needed yesterday as they win the game 34-10. They'll get ready as they'll take on another now division team with the Tennessee Titans coming up.
5 o'clock fire.
Well, speaking of that, let's do it right now. Caller number four, 713-572-4610. Caller number four right now. If you get in, Chris will take care of you. You will have a chance to win a pair of tickets, front row tickets, to see the Texans take on the Tennessee Titans. All you got to do is call in right now. This is your cue to call, 713-572-4610. Caller number four. Chris will take care of you and get you those tickets for a game coming up on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. All right, Clint, last night while that game was going on, some may have missed it, the Rockets had a tough, tough loss last night. They lose 101-100 as Dame Lillard comes through and hits gets a layup, drives past Dylan Brooks to get in and gets through traffic, hits a layup, and then the Rockets had a chance at the end, and it looked like they drew up a great play to Şengün right at the basket. I was talking to Brandon Scott earlier. Said it looked like he mistimed his jump but couldn't catch the ball. He was right at the rim. It was a perfectly drawn up play, and they couldn't get the W. But again, man, if you watch that, impressed by Jalen Green again as he was rolling. You can just see him playing with a different level of confidence. And look, where it came down to, and this is something to watch, and why, you know, guys like Jabari Smith, those guys that are certain sizes, a little bit bigger, they really need those guys to come through and become better defenders. Dylan Brooks, they were just putting him on anybody. They're putting Dylan Brooks on Giannis, and that wasn't working. They put Dylan Brooks on Dame Lillard at the end. That didn't work. They just struggled to get stops. They had a lead and just couldn't roll through. But they still clearly look like throughout most of that game, they were the better team. They just had Giannis and Lillard come through at the end. But it's still positive things as they continue to look like they belong as a playoff-level team.
Superstars did what superstars are supposed to do, huh? Look, the Rockets are sitting – they're sitting pretty right now, man. It's early in the season, obviously, but clearly they're doing some things right and – positioning themselves to be a tough out.
No, yeah, it is looking good. As I said, if you hadn't called them on the road against Milwaukee, they played a pretty good game, but they lose by one there. They'll stay on it. They're ten and five right now in the West, and in a pretty good spot right now. And if they can continue to do it, I'm just telling you, the biggest thing is when you watch this team. It is clear they have taken the next step of looking like they belong on the court with these guys. With other teams, other playoff-level teams. Like I said, they were the better team throughout that night last night.
I've got to get dialed into the Rockets. I was in a pretty good spot last year of getting home, settling in, and catching it. At least few minutes of the game. I got to get dialed in. You've told me several times now that this is they've made the move. It's time to, you know, they're a different team. I got to lay my eyes on it.
Chris, you watch them. They look different to you. Does it look like they have?
Oh yeah,
matured.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like you said, they've taken that next step.
Yep.
And it's about time.
Damn, calm down, man. They were young. Like,
Nah. It's about time.
I'm with you, Chris. About damn time.
It's about damn
Chris,
time.
Like, oh, Mr. Nice Guy over here.
I'm just saying, boy. I just watched it at the end of the game. I said, boy, they ain't got nobody to guard either one of these two. They are just doing Dylan Brooks in. I was like, where is Tyrese? Please, put him on somebody.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, other news here coming from the Astros. Alex Bregman declines his $21-plus million qualifying offer. This is not any surprise. According to Chandler Rome of The Athletic, Alex Bregman declined his Astros qualifying offer. Houston will get a 2025 draft pick after the fourth round if Bregman signs elsewhere. This does not preclude the Astros from pursuing a reunion with Bregman. It was a formality to give them compensation if he leaves. So I saw some people on YouTube and Twitch texting in, said he signed his qualifier offering. Did we lose Bregman? Does not really change anything, right? It does not change anything. They have said, Clint, that it is a priority for them. Dana Brown has made it clear that third base is a priority. Alex Bregman is a priority. This just protects them, and they would have been, you know, they would have been silly if they didn't extend an offer, and yeah. Bregman would have been silly if he did accept.
Well, with this Bregman deal, I want him to keep Bregman. I'm okay if they overspend a bit to keep Bregman. It goes back into the same. You know, we're talking about the one guy that, again, in the absence of some leadership, stood up and worked with some young pitchers. That those young pitchers happened to perform pretty well, and I like having that in the clubhouse. And so, I'm really leaning into Crane's. I guess how highly he thinks of Bregman, like Altuve. I'm really leaning into that and hope that influences him to pull this trigger.
I'm curious from you here and the people, those of you on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans, and those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. Do you get the sense – I know Altuve's different. Do you get the sense that – and as you said, you don't mind if he overspends and how do you get the sense that – Jim Crane and company view Bregman in a different way than they viewed Correa or Springer or Cole or, you know, these guys that they let walk that seem to be big parts of the team. Do you think because Springer and Correa were pretty important pieces to this crew that they let ride. And they let Verlander ride at first before they felt like they had to have him back. Do you get the sense that they view Bregman differently, and there is a potential that they could maybe do a little bit more than what they normally do?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I mean, I'm leaning into that. I can't help but go back to when the sign stealing scandal went down. The two guys that they pushed out there in front of everybody, who clearly were not ready to be the guys that they pushed out in front of everybody, were two guys that I think are closer to the powers that be, if you will, Altuve and Bregman. And I may be reaching here. Hell, I don't know. I'm reaching and hoping that is the case, and that Bregman is back.
Yeah, I'm seeing some people roll through here and say, no, it's different. Champ Slice said Bregman or Springer and Correa were replaceable. Bregman was not. And I would say, well, who the hell did they replace Springer with? Damn center field. I don't know about that. Someone texted in on the text line. He's gone. I don't know, boy. That would be interesting if they view him like Altuve. You could tell like Altuve was going to finish his career here in Houston. They're going to make that happen. I wonder if they feel that same way about Alex Bregman, because the numbers we're hearing would seem to go past what they normally would look to spend on guys. So that is the latest there with Alex Bregman. That'll be something we'll be keeping tabs on all off season.
5 clock fire.
Our little NFL news is we watched one dumpster fire last night and another dumpster fire in the league. At least they're doing some things. The Jets, they have fired their coach. The Jets, they have demoted their offensive coordinator. The Jets, they have added guys. They have traded guys. And now they have fired their general manager, Joe Douglas. And he is out. He is out now as the GM for the New York Jets. And at least they're making some moves. We're watching Dallas. They're keeping everybody in the same, at least right now. But Joe Douglas is out, which is there are also some reports. Also, there's maybe some disagreements on Aaron Rodgers and his future there. But Joe Douglas is out with the Jets, and they are going to completely clean house, it looks like.
Yeah, and they should. And look, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I was hoping that it would work out differently for him and he could end his career a little bit differently. But at this point in time with what's going on in New York, talent's not the problem. They got dudes. They clearly need to just blow this thing up, start over, and build it from scratch. And it's just not – I mean, it ain't going to work as is. I mean, there's people that are talking about, oh, well, Aaron's offense ain't going to work. Aaron's going to have to run somebody else's offense and yada, yada. Come on, man. Aaron's offense, whatever Aaron's offense is, I mean, 3 years ago was an MVP. He played at an MVP level. Like, it's bigger than just Aaron and his offense. Like, this is not a good football team. The organization is a mess. They need to blow that thing up and start over from jump.
It's crazy because he's done some good things when you talk about the talent, especially in the draft. Yeah. He has done some good things, got some trades. I believe he's the one that somehow got two draft picks for Jamal Adams. He got two first-round picks from Seattle from Jamal Adams. Like, he has done some really good things. But it just shows, boy, and this is what Nick Caserio has riding for him. You get that quarterback right, right? And not white, but if you get that quarterback right, like, you know, it can mask some things. If you don't matter if you drafted Sauce Gardner or Quinnen Williams or Garrett Wilson, or no matter what you've done across this thing, you drafted Zach Wilson, and that blew up in your face, and now the Aaron Rodgers thing is blowing up in the team space. So a tough one there. So the Jets are going to be making some changes. At least they're getting out in front of it early over teams like the Dallas Cowboys. Coming up, how y'all think Bobby Slowick did last night? I know many of y'all is trying to fire Bobby Slowick. For many of you, that's my favorite thing. Many of you who just... Oh, boy, y'all got all the negative stuff. All the plays you perceive as bad. None of y'all be putting up them good ones. Or y'all give him credit for that. So what did you think about them last night? They scored in the second half on offense, scored in the first half. What did you think about Bobby Slowick last night? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Those of you on the 5-hour Energy Fan text line, YouTube and Twitch as well. As I said, what you think about Bobby last night? Still want to hit Bobby with that pink slip? Many of y'all wanted to do. I see some people on the text line. Clint, I think Bobby was okay last night. Aside from the third and inches going for the throw was too aggressive, he was fine. He should be fired for that third and inches pass alone. We need to see if this no hat Bobby works just this week. You ain't lying. Bob took the hat off.
No hat, had a nice little comb over. It's nice.
He's got good hair. I told good you, look. I saw see him out in a little flag football.
It was good look. Look, here's the deal. If you're going to go hat, before we – let's really get the important stuff here.
Let's go.
If you're going to go with a hat, like, that can't be it. Lane Kiffin with the visor, white visor, Ole Miss on the side. Can't do it. It doesn't matter. Can't do it. It's not it. It's just not. It's not it. You can't go with the low crown hat that just hugs the top of your head, that the logo's staring like at a 45-degree angle at the people sitting up in the mid seats on the second deck up there in the stadium. Can't do that. Like Bobby Slowick, if you're gonna go with a lid, and I don't even remember what he was going with. It's gotta be a nice you can go snap back 59-50, but it's gotta be a higher crown, flatter bill. I mean, hell, where he comes from, I mean, nobody does it better in a game than Shanahan. I mean, Kyle's got a clean hat game, man, every damn game. Got to go that, man. You can't go that old loose stuff, man.
I really like the no hat.
I'm down with no hat.
I like the no hat. Keep calling
the plays like you've been calling them. No hat's fine with me.
The no hat. Someone else texts in as well. If Bobby would stop being so screen happy, he'd be doing great, in my opinion.
Lost your damn mind.
Too many screens. That's what gets me is everybody's got a feel of Bobby and a play calling and it varies.
What are we watching?
Doesn't run it.
I mean, of all times to bitch about the screen game, today's not it. Nico Collins took 177 yards from jump.
Yeah, but it didn't count.
Okay, how about the one that Joe Mixon caught? Joe Mixon, he catch one or two last night. For a good chunk of his, 44 yards receiving that he had?
But Joe made the plays. Joe made the plays.
Yeah, I don't get my inner Bobby haters. We have literally this year, for an extended period of time, we've seen what a game plan that doesn't have screens and quicks and doesn't commit to the run game early. We've seen what that looks like with the Texans. And it is C.J. Stroud being pressured damn near at a 50% rate. I don't know what folks are watching. You ain't got to like Bobby. I don't care. Call for Bobby's job. I don't give a rip. But I don't know what anybody is watching at this point that says fewer screens and I'm in. The third and one, hated the call. Don't know what the hell Bobby was doing. The aggressiveness when they went up 27-10, in the fourth quarter, all we're trying to do is run the clock and get to the damn plane.
He said, knockout.
I don't know what Bobby's doing there. I have no idea what Bobby's doing.
Trying to knock him out.
But them screens, they've been working real nice. Real nice, sucker. And they're slowing that rush down a little bit. They're protecting the offensive line from having to go out there and hold up for 5, 6, 7 seconds. I mean, it's great, man. It's great what they're doing.
Yeah, so you were good with the performance last night.
I wasn't just good with it. I am absolutely stoked.
And see, and I can understand because yours isn't just because it worked.
Anybody that watches the Texans should at the very least at this point in time, what can you do to stop the bleeding? What can you do to stop the pressure? Anything that stops the pressure, any attempt, whether it works or not, just stop the pressure. Because you're going to get my quarterback. You're going to get my future killed. CJ's going to be the guy for the next 10 years here. You're going to get him killed at what they were doing. So whether it works or not, just do something different than what you were doing the first 9 games. So, yes, the screen game, the quick game, committing to the run game, overly committing to those things, I am A-okay with. Absolutely. I'm going to tell you this. CJ, the offensive line had shown that no matter how long you stick with it, they were not going to be able to protect a pocket passing quarterback in the mid-range to deep progression pass game. They weren't going to do it. They cannot consistently do it. The quarterback had shown for 9 weeks, for an extended period of time, he was going to be aggressive. Hell, he said it, and then he went out there and did it over and over and over again. He was going to be aggressive. He was going to work high to low. He was going to try to force balls down the field instead of working low to high and protecting himself. Bobby can no longer trust the players to handle those situations, those pressure situations, the right way. Bobby can no longer trust his quarterback to take calculated risk. Hey, it's not there. Check the ball down. Don't sit there and jerk the ball for 5 seconds and hoping somebody comes open and hoping somebody comes back to you and somebody does this. Or that. Don't do that. He cannot trust guys to do that. And until he can, the answer is the handcuffs are on Bobby. We're going to go screens. We're going to go quick games. We're going to run the football. And we're going to play great defense. Now, along the way, if C.J. Stroud shows, hey, man, I can call a shot play. And if you get pressured right away, you're going to check it. You're going to know where you're checking out, your outlets are. And if you don't get pressured right away, you're going to get a good pre-snap read and say, hey, man, this design right here is for a 2-high shell. We've got a 3-high shell, or we've got man. Let me get out of it. I'm going to make my coordinator right. Until they can do those things, Bobby Slowick is handcuffed. The beauty of it is that they're good enough in the screen game. They're good enough in the quick game. They got enough explosive weapons. Their running game is as good as any not named Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry right now. And so the good thing is you can lean into that and you can win games with it.
I don't think it's when you have the combination of Nico returning and against a Dallas Cowboy team that isn't good defensively, that can't stop the run and struggles in many areas, that you see this team execute better and that he looks better.
Sure.
And it's not a surprise. You get arguably your best offensive threat from the text line. You play a crap team. You are supposed to stomp their asses. OC is still terrible. Play calling is predictable. And lucky he has Mixon. Folks like that, and just Bobby, it doesn't matter what Bobby does. It doesn't matter what it is. As you just laid out. And there were clearly things that were laid out and called and schemed up well, from screens to everything. First play of the game, untouched. Multiple screens, untouched. And the feel, like I know, as you said, he was aggressive, but he went in there and bang the end to really score their last touchdown. Joe Mixon. And they executed. This was a game in which his offensive line didn't get absolutely devoured like they have been recently, which makes life easier for the play caller. And his best offensive perimeter threat was out there. And they had the running game rolling. It's gonna be better. But no, it ain't gonna look like this every single week, because like next week, we'll see what happens with Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, and Sweat. It was a problem. We'll see what this looks like there. And we'll see how he has to adjust to things. And by the way, like we talked about this a bit earlier, his quarterback probably hurt him a few times out there in some spaces. The interception that probably, as Troy Aikman said, I'll lean towards him. That's a walk-in touchdown if he throws it and hits him. So, listen, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's actually a good offensive coordinator. But I also believe, as Clint just said, he's handcuffed in some ways. Now, it's on him to not just continue to roll with what has him handcuffed and allow him to get himself hurt and the rest of the team hurt with that. But, I mean, I think you have to take that into account.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't – I mean, why on God's green earth would you want a guy to be more aggressive? It, given the situations, right? I mean, I want my guys to be aware.
We're down the field, baby.
I want my guys to be fully aware. You're up 27-10, fourth quarter, 10 minutes. We call three straight passes, two of which are long play actions. That's a concern for me. I don't like that. Bobby, for some reason, falls into that, and it's just like, what in the hell are we doing? You got Cooper Rush across the field. You are up 27-10 in the fourth quarter.
Trying to knock him out.
You got Joe Mixon, who is a top three back in this league. What in the hell? What is the mindset? I can't figure that out. But he eventually got back to it, and boom, it was done. Fed Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon put that 34th point on the board, and we got on a plane and had us a nice night.
Did the thing. All right, we'll see what Tyler did last night. We'll get his best bets in his absence. And we got to talk about the best player on the field yesterday. We got to talk about him one more time before we get out of here. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's a special edition Shoppers John Deere Reaction Tuesday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As someone said, what happened to Tyler? Tyler stepped off a little early, had a little engagement with the wife. So he's hanging out. So he's good. He'll be back tomorrow. As Chris Santiago is in the building. You doing double duty? You doing Area 45 as well?
Yeah. I'll be on Area 45 tonight.
All right, there you go. Do your thing. Make sure you listen to him, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, coming up 8 to midnight as they've got Area 45 as they'll follow Texans All Access.
I was looking at this. I've been rolling through. They got me, man. I think that's my next move, man. I think I'm gonna start really rocking, you know, track suits, some sweat suits, man. Like the full
same color matching.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
what brand? Adidas?
I don't care. I mean, I may start, you know, maybe Nike. We'll see. I mean, you know, we'll see. I don't wanna I might go to Academy Sports, see what I can get there, see what I can get full go. But I think I'm gonna start. I'm starting to like that look.
Go to Academy, man. You'll get prices that you'll love.
I will. I saw it there. I walked past a couple of them. I feel like that just is such a comfortable look. I don't know that I really like the zip up.
That's what I was going to say. You going hoodie? You going half zip? You going sweater? You going full zip?
I think I'm going hoodie all the way down. Like right now, I can see a good clean teal joint just all the way
teal.
Down. Yeah, good teal joint all the way down. Yeah, man, that good salmon all the way down. You know what I mean? I ain't afraid of color.
What sidewinders you going to wear with it?
Oh, man, I almost had to hit that dumb button. I ain't wearing no sidewinders.
Sidewinder-ass tennis shoes.
Out of here, man. Whatever. But, yeah, I think I'm going to start banging out.
I mean, Ron, I'm telling you, here's the deal now.
Some good looks, too.
I mean, you can pull it off. Hell, you got blonde tips, for crying out loud. I mean, you can pull it off. But I'm telling you, you have got to.
I'm going to go bang this out. I'm telling you, man. Right, yeah,
telling you, you've got to have, if you don't have a crispy pair of white Air Force Ones.
They don't have to be Forces.
I'm just that they can be J's, they can be whatever. They got to be crispy white, though. If I were you, shorter side, shorter gentleman, I would go with Air Force Ones. They got the big tall sole.
Give you a little boost.
I'm about to just roll through a whole bunch of them.
I mean, look, I'm just telling you, you better get the shoe game right with it. I mean, you cannot have blonde tips and a salmon jumpsuit head to toe without the right kicks. You can't do it.
It matters.
No, it won't.
I'm not saying it just fine.
No, it won't. I'm not going to let you do it.
I will do the right thing.
We're going to talk about it on air. We're going to post pictures if you don't do it right.
I'm about to be clean now. Tell you, man, I may not be able to get that rope chain. I sent it to Courtney. I said, I think I'm going to start wearing some track suits and some sweatsuits. I think that's about to start being my look. She said, bet. That's all she said. I don't know if that is.
Do you think that was?
Dawson? I don't know if that's.
More Christmas right around the corner, or get the hell out of here. What do you think that bet was?
Okay, idiot. That's what I said. just like you're gonna get that rope chain. Just like you're gonna.
Hey, tell her. Just like I got these blind
tips.
These blind tips. I got them. Found a way.
And you did it.
Yeah, that's right.
And you the one who did it. I'm about to be clean, man. Give me some of these jumpsuits, baby. Somebody said you look like Missy Elliott. You can kiss my ass.
Missy. She does wear some jumpsuits.
That's all right, though. There's another example you could have brought to the table, but you want to be Mr. Funny?
I mean, who would you have preferred them bring to the table?
A random person in a picture. Anybody else? What's my man?
I mean, Missy is pretty... I mean,
Kenya Barris in
I ain't got that.
Black AF.
I got Missy Elliott.
Black AF. He used to just wear tracksuits the whole way. All the way. That could have been.
What's my man's name? I can see him in a tracksuit in a sweatsuit.
Dame Dash used to just rock some tracksuit.
No, he had that missing tooth. Man, in my mind, just Tyler Perry.
Tyler, does he wear tracksuits?
I think I've seen him in a real comfortable tracksuit.
I'm trying to be just real comfortable.
Yeah,
man. Just rolling through.
I know that's where you're going. I mean, Missy was good, but I went with Tyler Perry. I mean, that was good.
All right, coming up behind us, as we said, Texans All Access, and then Chris and the fellas will take over at 8 o'clock, 8 till midnight, live and local, right here on Sports Radio 610. We're going to talk about this, man. I thought Derek Stingley was the best player on the field last night. Some may say Joe Mixon. Some may say Danielle Hunter, who was dominant. But I thought it was easy, effortless for him and how he performed. He was special, Clint. It was the first time to me I've watched Derek Stingley and thought, this year he looked like the guy who finished as the AFC Defensive Player of the month, not the week, the month. He looked like the guy coming into the year where there was high, high expectations that he could be an all-pro level corner. Now, he has not been that this year, but he had an assignment, as we found out, coming from, thank you, L. Cool J, you're right. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, good one.
Coming from
damn, how did we leave that one?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I just see him now. I think NCIS. It's hard for me not to think.
I don't know. I wasn't going for the ball-headed guy, maybe. I don't know.
It's hard. I just see NCIS for some reason. But no, man, it was the first time to me where I'm like, damn, there he is. That's it. He is not Pro Football Focus, has had him throughout the season anywhere between 19 and 22 or whatever when it comes to ranked cornerbacks in this league. But, I mean, he locked up C.D. Lamb, locked up anybody else around him, had a pick, got his hands on a couple of other footballs thrown his way. He was really, really special last night.
Yeah, it was big time. It was big time. And to have that, for D'Amico Ryans to have that in his bag, to have that in his pocket, if you will, of at any point in time when the Texans face an offense that has, you know, one wide receiver that if you eliminate him from the game plan, their offense takes a huge hit. They don't have any counter punches. They can't run the football. To be able to do that, it's not going to help you, you know, necessarily against the better teams in the league, because the better teams are going to have more options. The play callers are going to be better, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, when during the regular season, as you navigate a regular season, you can keep that one player from ripping your heart out of your chest the way Davante Adams did at the end of the Jets game, right? I mean, you can defend that to some degree. And so last night was absolutely beautiful. Here's the thing that I'm thankful for, but I'm not real comfortable with, right? It seems like Derek Stingley Jr., his ability to turn it on and off is, he's almost got, it's like a guy that's won a couple of championships and is just navigating the regular season instead of going out and trying to win every week.
I ain't seen him turn it on like that this year.
That's my point, is like we saw him like midway through training camp for some reason. Something pissed him off, and he was like, hell with that. For a week in training camp, he was just – it was on another level. And then it's like this season, he's left a lot to be desired, letting guys catch balls underneath him, letting guys get behind him, and kind of one of those blasé, blasé, it's a regular season, let's get the ball that matters. He appears to be a guy that when D'Amico Ryans goes to him and says, all right, I need you this week. I need you to do more than just be where you're supposed to be, tackle well, and run to the football. Like, I need you to eliminate CeeDee Lamb from the game plan. It's like, at that point, Derek Stingley says, all right, coach, I got you. And gets his mind right and goes out there and plays like one of the best corners in the game and takes one of the best receivers, the most productive receiver last year, completely out of the game. And so I'm not real comfortable with it. But I love having that weapon on our defense to where D'Amico Ryans at any point in time, whether it's game plan or it's an adjustment in a game of, hey, go get that guy, take him out of the box, score. We're going to see if they can win without him. That was big time last night. And to know that that's still there this year and that's part of Derek Stingley, not that we didn't have any reason to doubt that was still there at some point, but last night it was good to see it.
No, it was. He was spectacular. He just couldn't do nothing. I mean, he frustrated CeeDee Lamb so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got an offensive pass interference penalty in the end zone. That was something else, boy. He was special last night. If they can get him to come on like this, like he did at the end of the last year, as you said, that's another weapon. All right, Tyler is not in, but we will do his best bets. Last night he did pretty good. Got the Dalton Schultz, as you did. 2.5 receptions over. Didn't get the Nico Collins. Stroud over 8.5 rush yards. He got the Texans Cowboys over 41. So he did pretty good.
He hit 5 of 6 last night.
5 of 6 last night. And tonight he's going NBA right now. You can jump in here Chris, if you want, about things he likes. He likes the Nuggets +5 tonight, 5.5 tonight. Pelicans, Mavs, over 222 tonight. And I would say I like that one as well. Jazz, Lakers, over 113 in the first half, 113 and a half in the first half. That feels like that's going to be up and down between the Jazz and the Lakers. Drew Holiday, over 4.5 rebounds, one of the best rebounding guards in basketball. And Luka, over 7.5 rebounds tonight. So I like a lot of these, to be honest with you, from Tyler. Definitely like the Pelicans and Mavs over, like Luka over, and I like Drew Holiday over on that. I think he's really going to make some hay after starting off 1-11 last week.
It is hard for me to bet my hard-earned money on guards rebounding. I know you said he's a good rebounding guard, and you know, yada yada. I mean, I get it. I'm not, but it's hard. That thought is wild to me.
I like that Luka one. I actually put some money on the Luka one.
I like the Luka one. I mean, it's just the way the game rolls, and like with the Celtics, they just get so many threes up and so many shots up, and he gets a lot of long rebounds,
a lot of opportunities,
and he's a good rebounding guard. Anyway, just like. Like, if they did this in Dwayne Wade's heyday on blocks, if he was getting, like, half a block a night, it would be, I'm not a bet man, but if I was one, I would put so much money on that every night, on Dwayne Wade with what he did.
I think you should find somebody like that and a bet you feel that good about and just put it on there every night.
It would be White from the Boston Celtics. He's a really good shot-blocking guard, not D-Wade, but a really good shot-blocking guard. So hopefully our man will make this thing work. Because he had a good start yesterday, 5 out of 6.
Actually, I know of a guy, Dyson Daniels. Steals. He's been on the tear with the steals. If you want to sprinkle in some money. I don't know what his prop is at right now, but Dyson Daniels.
That's a little aggressive for me.
Steals, that's a deep dive.
That's a hard steals. I got to draw
Dyson
the line.
Dyson Daniels.
I think I got to draw the line on steals. I got to draw the line on steals. Like, hey. That's deep in that's degenerate. I got to draw the line on steals. I get like.
See, I would go the opposite. I mean, you went blocks and rebounds for a guard. I would probably take some. I mean, the steals in my mind would be a more.
That's hard to control, man. Luka going to be down there for about 5 good ones that just come off to him. He going to be like, yeah, Luka going to bang that out. Drew Holiday, too. Steals, I don't know about that. Know about that. All right. As we said, Texans All Access coming up behind us. And then after that, Area 45, Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, and our guy right here, Chris Santiago, will have you going from 8 until midnight. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Chris, great job. Remember, tomorrow, 2:30, we'll hear from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. You can catch that live right here on The Drive. I am Ron Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby. Seems to know the way. Then I